and welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Gunaverde. Thanks for joining me today on your Economic Forum. Before we begin, please be advised discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendation or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. And I may mention stock indices today, but they are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. And remember, this show is not meant as investment advice, right? Past performance is no guarantee of future result. Investing involves risk, and depending on what types of investment, there may be varying degrees of risk. If an investor cannot tolerate risk, consider FDIC-insured products like CDs, savings accounts, etc., etc. Also, the views expressed today are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this staff members or underwriters. Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, it matters. Money affects us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it or a little of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack or abundance of it, your lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is always about you. Let's take a look at the stock market today. We always cover indices. I miss them occasionally, but I'll try to cover them all so we can kind of get caught up. The Dow sits at 35,289. I can go over the NASDAQ and the Russell and the S&P. These are different markets, but everybody looks at the Dow. That's what makes the news. And so, we were sitting around 29,500 when COVID hit. Went all the way down to about 18,300. We are almost at a double. Can you believe that? We have the Delta variant resurgence. We have the contentious election over with. Thank goodness. Did all your friends come back yet? All your friends and relatives that left you or you left them. And then we had the mask debate, the maskers versus the anti-maskers. And we had vaccines come out. So it's now the vaxxers versus the anti-vaxxers. And I got a new president. And of course, Afghanistan. Situations going on over there, and the Federal Reserve printing a lot of money. Of course, we all know about that. And what else can I tell you? What a crazy world. And now we've got what? Wildfires burning the world. God's wrath. So I live in a wildfire area. I went through two almost evacuations. I was packed up, ready to go. But I was one sector away from mandatory into voluntary. So my neighbors left. And I wasn't going to stay if they said mandatory. I was going to get the hell out. But there you go. I didn't have to go. I'm still packed up, ready to go for sure. What's been moving? Well, you know, all sorts of stocks have been moving up and down. The great rotation continues. When we got out of COVID, of course, all the industrial stocks, things like that, kind of moved up. And the stay-at-home stocks kind of moved down. And now they're reversing again. This Delta variant, oh, man, it's like, I don't know what's going on in the world. It's crazy, right? I remember the arguments between the Trump people and the non-Trump people, and now we got the arguments between the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers, and then we had arguments between the maskers and the anti-maskers. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Now we have wildfires burning the world down. So it's just, what an incredible year, right? I mean, it's just just incredibly amazing. May you live in interesting times? Well, we do, for sure. So, the Dow plowing ahead. You know, I can't really say that I have a great feeling about all of this. Well publicized, and with the approval of regulators, because when I make a move in portfolios, if it's a big move, like go to all cash, I write about it. So everybody knows what I did. I always give the disclaimer that don't follow me what I do, you know. But when I went to 08 and 09, when I went to a big change in the portfolios, didn't have the Money Matters show then, so I couldn't announce it. But when COVID hit, it was very well publicized, and I publicized that in February. Before COVID really hit, I wrote an article and did a show saying that the world was not taking into consideration the effects that this virus could have on the markets and indeed the world. And I got to that because, you know, I'd heard about Corona and I got some photographs of city in China called Wuhan, which we all know about now as the reported origination of the COVID virus through the live animal market. It's just a rumor. We don't know. Some people say it came from the weapons lab. We don't know. And when I saw these empty airports, train stations of Wuhan, and well-published, I was already looking for a reason to sell because the Dow was at a new high and it had risen from 17,000 and change to 29,000 in the 4 years that Trump was in office. And I just, you know, we were worried about the tariffs from China hitting China GDP, gross domestic product, basically all the money that floats around in an economy, GDP, all the money that's transacted for goods and services. And the skinny was the tariffs were going to knock 1% off of GDP. And if it knocked more than that, the rumor was the market was going to get hammered. So I was worried. And then I saw these photographs of this city that were empty. And I was already scared that the GDP was going to get knocked down from China. So I looked on the Worldometers website, which is a great website. It gives you all the stats you ever want to know about the coronavirus. Sort it by any way you want. How many people per million, how many deaths, how many people got sick, just the whole thing, the country, everything, by county, Worldometers. And I didn't know what viruses really do to markets. So the only thing I could find that was really affected was the SARS virus, okay? Now, SARS only infected 10,000 people, killed about 9%, but it only infected 10,000. So I went back to 03, and I see what it saw, what it did. SARS caused Chinese GDP to back off 1%, and it only sickened 10,000 people. So at that time, I remember looking at Worldometers, I was seeing 35,000 infections. Now, the kill rate for COVID was not as bad as SARS. It was like 3 or 4%. But SARS was 10%. But when I saw that, I said, holy mackerel, I'm looking at 35,000 infections, and this thing apparently is spreading like a wildfire. So I was worried. I was really worried. So when the market, and I published that in mid-February. I think the article was written February 10th, and the show was done second week in February. So when the market started hard down toward the end of February and beginning of March, we went on and all out, get rid of everything. And I publicized that again. And the market just came apart from 29,000 to 18,000. It was the fastest fall from a new high to a bear market correction of about 38%. The Dow fell for 38% in 3 weeks. I mean, it was just brutal. And then it stopped about the third week of March. It kind of oscillated. So we publicized again that I was starting to nibble. And the rest is history. Well, you know, here we are with the Delta variant. Now, the economy has improved since COVID, and I think that's what the market has been looking at. Hope market looks ahead. So comparison-wise, when we look at the damage that COVID did in the economy worldwide because of the shutdowns, of course, the next quarters were going to look great. Well, Delta has now risen, and the vaccines that were supposed to be a one- or two-shot deal are now told that we have to get boosters. We are seeing, I just read today, that airline traffic is down to the same levels it was in May of 2020. Wow. Disneyland, I understand, if I look at the map of Disneyland. By the way, I did a show on how to negotiate Disneyland after COVID, and I put it on YouTube, so no charge for any of that, of course, so you can go see if you're interested in going to Disneyland. But anyway, Disneyland app put out a map and tells you how many minutes you have to wait. Well, it's down to 5 minutes. On when I was down there about a month and a half ago, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, the waits were spiking up at 20, 25, 35, 45, 50 minutes. Now it's way down again. And so travel is starting to contract, yet the market continually plows higher. Now, the reason for that, I think, is all the money that the Federal Reserve is manufacturing. They are manufacturing tons of money, trillions, and there's an old adage in the market, you never fight the Fed. So If you were to tell me it was the economy reopening because of the hope for COVID, I would more say that the market is running. The market is running is because the Feds have printed $5 or $6 trillion, and they've handed a lot of that out to me and you and everybody else through the Paycheck Protection Program. So we don't fight the Fed. So that's the reason, in my opinion, that this market is continually running. Now, at some point, because the market is, the economy is starting to slow again, evidenced by the low airline travel, can the Fed continually to print more money to keep this market running? I don't know. I'm kind of under the impression that this market is basically masked. M-A-S-K-S. Masked. M-A-S-K-E-D. There we go. It's covered up by the amount of money that the Feds have been printing. So, with the Dow, you know, at an all-time high almost, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm just looking at this, the similarities are striking. I mean, the economy, the Dow is again pushing all-time highs. We've got low airline travel, low travel. I don't think people are going to shut down again, but indefinitely masks, indoor masks are mandates are starting out, and vaccine mandates are starting out, and the bailout packages and the unemployment bonus checks and the Paycheck Protection Reimbursement Programs, the PPP and the CARE program, everything else they printed out is winding down. And the rent moratorium, of course, ending. COVID cases are spiking and in some areas are at the highest infection rates of the summer of 2020. Now to boot, we've got wildfires burning the world down, or at least those with trees. We're finding out that the vaccines are not the panacea we thought they were. And in the midst of a massive resurgence of the new Delta variant, much of the U.S. is still reopening with a vengeance. I think that's going to slow these giant Sturgis motorcycle rally, which I read had 700,000 motorcyclists in the town of Sturgis. I don't even know how they fit that much. I was, you know, I suspected that figure was wrong, but I saw it three or four times. But theme parks are open. Football stadiums will be packed. And restaurants, theaters, and other venues are open. And I don't think anybody wants to shut down again. So it's going to be interesting what's going on. And once again, with all the money from the Fed, you know, running out, maybe they'll come up with another package or coming out with an infrastructure package. But he can't keep doing this. He, referring to Biden, you can't keep just printing up money and throwing it out. You can't. And we're going to talk about inflation and why we can't do that. But once again, well-publicized up to 3-4 weeks ago, I have initiated stops in portfolios, which are orders to sell when prices reach a certain point, and they have been executing for the last 6-8 weeks. So portfolios, you know, are kind of stagnant. They're kind of moving, but the rotation has been here, there, and everywhere. And so remember that stops are predetermined sell orders that I can place in, you can place in, when the stock isn't there yet. So if a stock's at 100, I could sell it, put a stop in to sell at 98 if it drops. But these stops are no guarantee against losses, okay? Stops can help eject positions automatically if the markets start down hard. But the kind of stops that I put in, it basically says if the stock reaches a certain point, it becomes a market sell order. So if I say, oh, well, I want to stop at 98, I don't get 98, or I may not get 98. The market is continually falling hard. I may get a lot lower than that. So stops really don't do anything but get you out, but they don't really, they say, get me out now. You may not get out, quote, now, unquote. Okay, so stops are no guarantee against losses for sure. And like a bad dream that keeps coming back, Wall Street investors again seem to be ignoring the possibility that once again, COVID might revisit its drastic and horrible assault on the human species, and in doing so, could also once again cause a severe reaction in the markets. So I'm worried. I am. It keeps plowing higher, but there's an old saying that the markets can stay illiquid longer than you can stay solvent. So that means that market movements can go a lot farther than you think is normal or right. I did see some warnings come out of some of the Wall Street papers that I read about margin debt being really high and You know, multiples for the stock markets really high. So I'm concerned, you know, I'm concerned. And as usual, in my opinion, most advisors and investors don't ever sell. And I don't believe in that. And I do. And so, again, it's not a recommendation for you to, but I do. Because I believe that I don't want to give gains back if they exist. And so, remember, that's not meant as investment advice for sure. Okay. So we're going to talk about inflation, how it is the stealth tax on the lower income class and transfers wealth to the rich. It does really do that. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Money Matter on your community radio station, aired on 66 stations nationwide. Yay. And the newscast as well. So we'll be right back after this brief musical interlude. I'm Mark Cuniberti. Stay tuned. And welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Thanks for joining me today. We're on show 335. There we go. Entitled Bad Feelings and a Stealth Tax. So I want to talk about the rate of inflation. And I want to talk about what inflation means. Because for you people realize that inflation has been called the stealth tax. As few people realize, inflation is a form of tax. Now, we don't usually think that it is, but it is. And it also enriches the wealthy as it impoverishes the lower income strata. Now, nobody ever thinks of inflation like that. But we're going to talk about that today because inflation does. And even your old Federal Reserve chief, Alan Greenspan, said that inflation, early in his writings, of course, he changed his tune when he got to the Federal Reserve. He called inflation, as other people have, a stealth tax that also transfers wealth from the poor to the rich. Now, how does it do that, and what is inflation? Well, the most egregious type of inflation is monetary inflation. Now, what is monetary inflation? Well, I've always used the example. Imagine I fill a room with 100 people and I lock the door. We now have a closed system. Let's just say it's an economy, the economy of the locked room. Economies for countries and states and even globally have boundaries. So we can talk about the economy of Greece. It's just bigger than the economy of the locked room. So imagine I fill the room with 100 people, I lock the door, and I give each person $1,000. And then I offer up an item for sale. In this case, let's just say it's a Rolex watch worth $5,000. Now, I've put $5,000 on the value because we have to assume that everybody wants to buy it because they could resell it. Now, they may not want a Rolex watch, but they can resell it for a lot more money. So we're going to assume that everybody wants to bid. The only rule is that two people cannot combine funds. Since the watch, or whatever it is I offer to sell, is a higher value than the cash each person holds, like I said, we assume that everybody in their right mind would want to buy the higher value item. Since each person only has $1,000 and cannot combine funds with another, the top bid would be $1,000. Now, before I close the deal, before I sell the Rolex, I now hand out $1,000 more to each person. The result would be, because each person is of sound mind and wallet, the top bid would immediately rise to the maximum each person has, which is now $2,000. So the price of the watch has doubled. We have just witnessed monetary inflation, which was inflation caused by an increase in the money supply in the room when I passed out more money. The price of the watch doubled because more money was introduced into the system, the room. Extrapolating now, when more money is introduced into an economy, a larger version of the locked room, the prices of things rise as each person has more money to spend. This rise in price, increase in price, because everybody has more money, is called monetary inflation. Since the only entity allowed to manufacture more money in an economy is the government, and in the case of the United States, it is the Federal Reserve Bank, they alone are the cause of monetary inflation. The transfer of wealth to the rich from the rest of the populace, that's what's seldom understood. This is accomplished by the very same inflation that is caused by the introduction of new money into an economy through the Federal Reserve, known as deficit spending. It's basically deficit spending is money that they don't have. So the Federal Reserve prints it up for them. And when they print it up, there's a number on the bill. And because they don't have anything backing it, it's debt. It's deficit spending. Nobody's arguing that. When the money is spent by the government, deficit spending, deficit means it's debt. When you deficit spend in your home, you charge it up on a credit card. Since the Federal Reserve creates money through the push of a button, in other words, the Federal Reserve can create all the money it wants, at the instant it creates the money and it's handed to the government to go into their coffers, it is then spent by the government. Now, an important note is the first person or entity to spend new money sees no increase in price as the money is not in the system yet. Remember, the prices rise only when the populace has a lot more money to spend. But when you first spend it, the government first spends it, it's not in everybody's hands yet. So it's not in the populace. It's not in the system. Prices only start to rise as the money filters out to everybody else. So one could argue that not only does the government get free money from the Federal Reserve's money creation ability, they just push a button, the government is not the victim of the inflation they are about to cause by introducing more money into the system through deficit spending. Think of $5 trillion that we've spent since COVID hit or more. As the money filters down, imagine a family now. They see a 5% increase in prices due to this newly created money. Okay, money causes inflation. They see immediately see their standard of living go down because the prices of things they need to buy goes up because of the amount of money that is now transferring around the system. Living hand to mouth, as many families do, this 5% increase places undue hardship on the lowest income levels. Some people can't afford to see a 5% increase. Anytime we increase the price of things in the economy, more people go under. There's always people that are just barely making it. So if we raise the prices, there are going to be more and more people becoming poor. What happens is that because inflation increases the price of everything, those that own assets that have value see those assets rise in value by the same percentage. So in other words, if a person owns $100 million in assets like businesses, stock, or real estate, and they see a 5% inflation rate, they see a 5% increase in the value of these assets. So the example where we use this guy has $100 million worth of assets, he sees a 5% inflation rate, and his assets rise by $5 billion, which is 5% of the $100 million of the assets he owns. The more assets that somebody owns, the more money they make. It is this rise in asset prices, which is caused by inflation, which is inflation, that continually increases the wealth of the rich while steadily impoverishing the poor. So the poor see a 5% inflation of the things they buy, but the rich see a 5% inflation of the things they buy, but they also see a 5% inflation of the things they own. You get it? So the longer inflation runs, the more the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's why we see this pyramid where more money is funneling to the top into hands of fewer and fewer people because we continually have inflation. In fact, the Federal Reserve wants inflation. They publicly state they want at least 2% inflation, which doubles the price of everything in 36 years. So the longer we run inflation, and we've been running inflation all through the 1900s and now into the 2000s, and recently it's been getting a lot worse, as you know. The worse inflation gets, the more money is transferred from the poor, who have to pay more but can't afford to have assets, to the rich because their assets rise with inflation. Like I said, because a majority of families don't own assets, half the country just lives hand to mouth, and they spend all their money on living expenses, half the country is hurt by inflation, while those that own assets profit from it. The stealthy part of inflation, nobody realizes this, which is why I bring it to light, is that inflation also causes your salaries to rise, it increases your home values, and your stock accounts, if you have any. This gives the illusion that things are improving. Well, I made more money than last year. My salaries are higher, and my house is worth more, and my business is worth more, and my stock account went up. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Because wages lag, in other words, wages never keep up with overall price increases. We know this. There's a name for it, wage-price lag. Wages always lag increase in prices. It's like running a race with a car. The car's going 20 miles an hour, you're going 5. Well, the longer you run the race, the longer we have inflation, the further behind you get. But because everything is going up, your salaries and your homes and your stock prices, if you have any, your business values, you're left wondering why you find it harder to make ends meet, even though you are seeing an increase in salary and bonuses and retirement balances and home values rise. In conclusion, the more cash a government hands out, the worse it gets for the lower classes, and the more the wealthy profit. The more money they have, the more inflation makes whatever they own worth more. So it's this wealth migration caused by inflation. It consistently drives more people into poverty and concentrates more and more of the wealth at the top in the hands of the few. The more you run inflation, the longer you run it, the faster it is, the higher it goes, the more poor people go under the bus, and the more money the rich make. In essence, the loss of wealth, the loss of purchasing power from the poor is transferred to the rich. That is why this is called a stealth tax. It is a tax on the lower income stratus that enriches the wealth. They profit from it. It's why, when you think of Washington and the people that run the government, right, no matter who gets in there, they all become millionaires, and many of them multi-millionaires, and they all own assets. So in a strange way, when they hear the call for help because people can't afford to pay for their stuff, they, in my opinion, are very glad to hear that, because that way they can make more deficit spending, they can make more money, have the Federal Reserve just crank it out. And because they own a lot of assets, they themselves profit from the inflation. So in a weird way, when we call for more public assistance, they love it. And also, they stay elected, because if they say, I'm not going to sign my name to any public programs, no assistance, then they would get unelected. So they already know. One, I can't go against any social programs or I won't be in office any longer. And two, if I okay social programs, you will vote for me and it'll also make me richer. Pretty easy to understand. Like I've always said on this show, you gotta appreciate a good con. That's it for Money Matters. And I want to thank you for listening today to show 355, Bad Feelings and the Stealth Tax. And please remember that opinions today, everything I said today is my opinion only, and may not necessarily reflect those of the station, staff, management, or underwriters. The show is not meant as investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any securities. And I just want to wish you the best of times, and hopefully we'll survive COVID, we'll survive the wildfires. Be safe. My name is Mark Cunaberdi. Thanks for listening.